Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter, Trinity Church. It is good to be together this glad day. So, in the apartment building not far from St. Barnabas Episcopal in Fair Lafayette, Louisiana, lived Sam and his sister, Nora. Though Sam was quite senior, much older than he either looked or admitted, he rode his bicycle everywhere, including to the church, every time that the doors opened, whether for a worship service or for a barbecue. I'd not been at that congregation long when he found me and announced, "Father, I'm a Catholic, but I don't drive." And he said this as though driving were an essential but suspicious element of Catholicism. And he continued, explaining that his bicycle would not reach a Catholic church, but that he and his sister and the Lord had discussed the situation and determined that in the absence of a real church, that our Episcopal parish would serve as a satisfactory substitute. "Now, Father, is this okay with you? Because all the other priests, they've all said it was okay. It was okay with them." "Of course, Sam. Of course. We're glad to have you. And I hope you'll bring Nora too." Well, before dawn one Sunday, as I readied for the day's services, I heard a commotion outside the doors of the church. There was the clanking of metal, what sounded like a small crash, and then the familiar thump, thump of the exterior doors having opened and closed. As uncertain as those poor guards at Jesus' tomb, I peered around the corner, unsure if I were to meet the risen Lord or one of his adversaries. But I was relieved, though he bore no angel's wings, to see my friend Sam walking right down the center aisle, tucking a baseball cap under his arm and carrying a mason jar with a rusting lid. "Well, Sam, good morning. You know, you're a little early for church." "Oh, I know, Father, but you can bless me some holy water, shall?" I said, "I'm sorry?" "Holy water, Father. You can bless me some." Sam said this, beaming like a sunny spring day. You know, I didn't want to disappoint him. And though I was not sure how to do what he asked, I also wanted to prove to him that, hey, we were a real church. "Come on, Sam," I replied. "Let's do this." And so Sam and I walked together to the altar guild sacristy, and I filled his jar of water in the sink. "Father, a little more?" Sam asked me when I stopped the water just below the threads. And of course, I said, and we filled the jar to its very brim. Slowly, he processed the jar to the altar, and I scooted the stack, that is the vested chalice and paten, to give us some room on the corporal, the small Eucharistic tablecloth. I then snagged a couple of prayer books from an acolyte pew and thumbed to page 299, the beginning of the baptism liturgy. I handed one of the open books to Sam. "Oh no, Father, I don't read, but you can do it. You can do it," he said encouragingly. And so I did. We did. At Sam's side, I prayed over the jar of water. "We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death, and by it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit." After the prayer ended, Sam announced an emphatic, "Amen." He carefully tightened the mason jar's lid, thanked me with wide eyes and a wide smile, and he headed back down the center aisle. Standing at the altar rail, I watched him, silhouetted by the first light of the new day. He stood as his bicycle, and he carefully laid his jar in a nest of bath towels that he had arranged in his handlebar basket. He returned his ball cap to his bald head, and he pedaled away. Later, Nora explained to me that her brother kept that mason jar on the dresser in his bedroom, and with the silver baby spoon that his parents had received at his birth, every morning he would carefully draw himself a drink of holy water, cross himself, and announce aloud, "Thanks be to God." "It keeps him well," Nora explained to me. "It keeps him well." Even these many years later, how I still ache, long for the immediacy and the seeming ease of Sam's faith. To believe that with only a simple sip of water that we could be made well, that we would receive our share in Christ's resurrection. And yet, I realize that even while we gather for our Easter this morning, Good Friday clings to us. And moreover, we to its dark crosses. In the deep weariness of these distancing days, the suffering of this life seems so much more believable and so much more present than the grace of God that we huddle among the crypts and we huddle with their lonesome dead. Rather than risk disappointment in hopefulness, we come to prefer the routine of our ruby-red COVID-19 maps, conceding the endlessness of our mortal struggle before believing the love of God. We ask the Lord if we can bring into Easter just one well-founded fear. We petition to keep coddled one precious sorrow, all as a kind of resurrection hedge. And pressing our Lent close to our broken hearts, we accept the cold comfort of familiar miseries as the best that we can hope for ourselves and for the world. But it must be that on this very day, it must be that during these fraught times that the earth shakes, that today the cosmos trembles, and today there is resurrection, resurrection, not far off, but right here, not in some distant time after the curve is flattened and the vaccine has been found, but right now, today, Jesus Christ has defeated death. It must be that today God has declared that things which were being cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and things, all things, are being brought to their perfection. And even at the grave, today we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Unlike the stories in Mark and Luke and Matthew, the gospel doesn't bother with hesitation. While in Mark, the empty tomb, it terrifies the women, and they say nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And though in Luke, the disciples receive the women's report as an idle tale, and they do not believe them. In today's gospel, in Matthew, the women leave the grave with awe and joy. And no sooner than they rush for Galilee does Jesus greet them on their way, meet them with welcome and reassurance. This immediacy of Jesus' appearance challenges our vain self-protections, our protections from beliefs that we feared might leave us looking foolish or naive, breaking down the defenses of all of us who secretly hoped that the stone might be our excuse, that we would show the faith to make it to the tomb, but once we got there, we'd find the stone still in place, too heavy to move, and so our worst fears, they could be validated, and we could be proved so grimly wise. Thanks be to God, with a flash of lightning, Easter lightning, an angel of the Lord has rolled back that tomb, rolled back that stone, and with it all the frightful burdens of this world. For us and for all, the risen Christ announces, do not be afraid. Now be clear. There was no magic potion for Sam, and there remains none available for us. No divine inoculation to protect us from every virus. There's no sacred enchantment to restore jobs to the unemployed. No ancient elixir to save us from the ravages of anger or anxiety, cynicism or grief. For no more was Sam's faith and wellness the product of his holy water than was Jesus' resurrection the consequence of the women's oils and spices. And yet, while the fearful guards cowered at the tomb, the faithful take to Galilee and embrace the risen Christ. And in the mystery of this Easter morning, we too can be kept so well. We too can be filled with resurrection in these days, not by mason jars or ointments, but by devoting ourselves to the beliefs that God has not abandoned us and that we will get through this pandemic together. That means that with an Easter heart, we commit ourselves to the daily devotions of setting one foot in front of the other, that we commit to privileging the common good before our own mounting restlessness, that we commit ourselves to charging the children's Chromebooks for their next weird day of schoolishness, that we commit ourselves to zooming it up with our colleagues and our congregation from that same curated corner of our apartment, that we commit ourselves to being sensible with our pantry, that we commit ourselves to taking good care and looking out for our nearby neighbors, that we commit ourselves to staying on the phone, calling our mama and them, making sure they're all right, that we commit ourselves slowly, even if slowly, 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 we commit ourselves to shedding our fearfulness like an old dead skin, and that we would come to trust that what God has declared is true. Jesus Christ has been raised, and we with him. New life filling us to the very brim and even overflowing. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.